Yeah, thank you very much, Ken, and thank you for introducing it the way you did when you said consistent, gentle healing year two, because that reminded me of something to share, the fact that you mentioned year two. You all may know we have a year one class that's running on Tuesday mornings now. Well, in February, on February 12th specifically, our year two class will start year three. The following Tuesday, on February 19th, the year one class will start year two. And so what we're also going to do in February is start a new year one class. On February 12th, the same day that we move to year three, we're going to start a year one class here on Tuesday evenings. It'll be in the time frame that Jacqueline and Connie are now in on Tuesday evenings. And in fact, Jacqueline and Connie are going to be the facilitators of the new year one class. So hopefully they'll be done with NTI by then. So here's why I'm telling you this. If you know anyone who wants to start gentle healing, that will be the opportunity, February 12th. And of course, I'll make announcements. You'll see posts on the daily update. But that will be the opportunity to start year one. Will be on February 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, if you know anybody who maybe did year one but didn't really fully commit to year two and would like to do year two, that year two will start, I think it's 9:30 in the morning. Is that right, Ken? Is it 9:30 Eastern Time or is it 9 Eastern Time? In the morning on Tuesdays, nine in the morning on Tuesday, February 19th. So really, whether a person wants year one, year two, or year three, all three classes will be offered on Tuesdays in February. So just thought I would share that before we get started. And there will be more information that will come out in updates. So we are here for week 97. That's assuming, that's counting from week one, year one, week 97. So we're really close to our 100th week in gentle healing, for those of you who began at the beginning. Also, I'm sure you noticed, if you're actually doing gentle healing, that today you finished NTI. I doubt you missed that. And tomorrow, we start the teachings of Inner Ramana. So hopefully everybody has their book. If you don't, you can order it tonight. And when I see your order, I will send you the first few messages to hold you over until you receive the book. I am shipping some Inner Ramanas tomorrow. In the morning, I'll be going to the post office so I can add yours to it. You can just go to the bookstore at the Awakening Together website and order Inner Ramana. Again, I'll ship it in the morning, but I'll also just send you the first few messages so you don't miss a thing with gentle healing. All right? And now it's time for you all to share from your last week with NTI. So who would like to get us started? All right, tell you what, why don't I start with a traveler. And again, because we only have half an hour, sometimes with the travelers, I just share part of the message rather than the whole message. This is from Teresa. So this is just a couple of paragraphs from one of her messages. Inner Wisdom says, have compassion for the one who still feels the struggle, for the one who still feels the strong magnetic attraction towards what is true, but also has so many doubts. This is all so simple. It is the thinking mind that adds complexity. It is the thinking mind that tells you this is a long, difficult journey. Now here's the part that I really love. Consider the migrating birds. From a human perspective, their journey across thousands of miles seems impossible. But they surrender to their own instinct because they have not got the capacity to doubt. I'll read that sentence again. Listen to this sentence. It's really, really incredible. They surrender to their own instinct because they have not got the capacity to doubt. And what happens? They are carried on powerful wind currents without any effort whatsoever. And then inner wisdom says, I am the wind beneath your wings. When you surrender to the deepest call of your heart, you will be carried. But I love that because I'm sure you guys have all experienced what I've experienced, that, you know, when you think about practicing awareness, watching awareness, or maybe when you're just thinking about letting go of false beliefs or even, you know, whatever practice you're looking at, sometimes it seems like such a huge task, right? To practice awareness, watching awareness for years until you awaken, or to look at all of those false beliefs. And it just seems so huge that it seems impossible. But what's really happening when we have that attitude is that we're doubting it's possible at all. We're doubting that awakening is possible at all. And it holds us back from even trying. And so I just thought this was gorgeous, this example of the birds who fly thousands of miles, you know, but the reason they're able to, the reason they just get started and do it is because they don't have the capacity to doubt. It's our doubts that hold us back. It's really worth all of us kind of looking at and contemplating, I think. So thank you, Teresa, for sharing that. And now, who in the sanctuary would like to share? You only got 20 minutes left, so it's time to step up. All right, so Tony, our future reverend, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Sounds so funny hearing that. Anyway, a couple things I'll share. And the first one is from The Thought of Awakening, number 290. It's inspired me to write this, to give willingness to be the presence of knowledge in the experience of a world. This is the line that has captured my attention to contemplate. Willingness is a powerful key. Willingness is a state of being in allowance and trust. Being in willingness means I am willing to abandon ideas of fear that I have been conditioned to believe would keep me safe in the world. These believed ideas of fear is what keeps me prisoner to the mind, to the belief in an individual separated self. To know the freedom of self, I must be willing to allow and trust. Go beyond the meaning that has been placed on ideas, thought, and emotion. Find out through your willingness to directly experience what you are in truth, beyond the chattering mind. I am here always. Do not limit yourself to fear. Love awaits your return home. And then the second thing that I wanted to share was a dream that I had had. And this was on Friday night into Saturday morning. I had a dream last night about a man who saw me and instantly was drawn to me with longing and desire. He embraced me and caressed my neck with sweet kisses. I felt a reciprocal longing and desire to be with him, but there was an overwhelming feeling of guilt. I believed I was already attached and would not want to experience the pain of breaking the attachment. So I said goodbye to this man, and I buried the longing and desire to be in this love. One may interpret this dream as wanting to be in a romantic relationship and feeling guilty for wanting to pursue this romantic relationship. But this morning, the remembrance of this dream came to me. As I was remembering the dream, the insight that came was God or truth, longs and desires me. Since what I am is truth, I am longing to be myself. I am longing to experience the love that I am, to know it so wholly. But I must let go of the idea that I am attached to this body-mind personality. I must let go of the guilt that I am something that I am not. My true desire and longing to be myself as love is hidden under the guilt. I must follow this longing to know love. After I wrote this, I listened to the song My Sweet Lord by George Harrison. And I did this before the loving consciousness meditation. I really loved these lines. I really want to see you. I really want to know you. I really want to be with you, my sweet Lord. And that's what I have for this evening. Thank you very much. I'm dropping the mic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tony. And thank you for sharing that dream and the insight came to you. I had a lot of clarity come to me through dreams like that. It's just so nice to have that form of communication. So thank you for sharing yours. Who else would like to share? All right, Shauna, the mic is yours.
Good evening. Want to make sure you can hear me? Yes, the little microphone has its moving quotes around it. Awesome. So I wanted to go to the Thoughts of Awakening on 291. And this is the Thought of Awakening says, do not fool yourself. Do not pretend to be at peace when you are not. Do not pretend to be happy with an undercurrent of fear or upset. Always be honest with yourself about your feelings. In upset, give willingness for peace, and willingness have gratitude for true desire. In peace, be joy. So that spoke to me today because I have an old mental habit of pushing feelings down and putting on a mask around others. This is one of the reasons I find it tiring when I'm with people. It takes great effort to maintain this falsity. It's not what we naturally are, so it takes effort. Being what one is enlivens and connects with the unbounded energy of life. And when I start writing, sometimes it goes from what I'm kind of contemplating to spirit. So it sounds like spirit came in here now. It continues, there's great fear in you around others. This is because when you see others, you are believing the illusion of separation. This belief will always cause fear. You are loved beyond what your mind can imagine. This scares the ego. I ask you, go into your heart, be open, receptive, and there you shall know you are loved. Know this is love. Know this love comes from unity. Actually, or oneness. And wrote energy. When you choose to see others, shift your attention away from seeing separation and drop into your heart. In the quiet and peace of your open heart, you will see with the vision of spirit. That was it for that day. And then I wanted to go to see the Thought of Awakening 292, which I won't read after the Regina's tip. I wrote a contemplation about symbolism. This was symbolism is gone forever when you can look beyond the symbols to the truth that merely is. And I can feel this is truth. It's such a relief knowing that truth merely is. To me, truth is constant. One can count on it, always being true. Whereas symbols, interpretation, and perception changes constantly. There's nothing solid to stand on. All that change and uncertainty is exhausting. To just be truth is what I feel a deep desire for. And I asked Holy Spirit, what would you show me about willingness? And I heard, continue to turn your attention towards your willingness. Allow that desire to grow. Obstacles will fall away naturally as you spend more time just being. Continue taking attention away from mental chatter. Shift it deeply inward and enjoy the being. Thank you for listening. I'm going to drop the mic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Shauna. And I know what you're talking about how it wears you out when you're putting on a mask. I used to, when I first started speaking at retreats and conferences, and all these people would come up to me, you know, I'm kind of an introvert. And I would try and put myself out there and be with all of these people and the way they seem to want me to be. And what started happening, because that was really fake for me, what started happening was I started getting headaches. And at each conference, it got worse and worse and worse until finally, there was a conference where I was unable to do my spot, my teaching, because I was sick and in bed. And that's when I realized that, you know, I wasn't being genuine, and that's what was making me sick. And so ever since then, I've learned to take my own time, you know, because that's what I need. I need my own time. So if you really watch me at a retreat or a conference, or if you were in Italy, people follow me, you may have noticed that sometimes I walked away from the group. I was walking by myself, you know, I was doing what introverts do. So it's very important that we be genuine, even genuine to some degree to the personality, right? Otherwise, you know, it hurts, like you're saying. Let's see, who wants to speak next? Let's see, that's Cheryl. All right, Cheryl, the mic is yours.
Okay, just doing a mic check. I don't know if you can hear me. I've been having issues with my sound. So. Well, I too felt a deep heart opening with the 291, day 291, and it is, you know, really I took a look at it, and here's what came through. To be honest is being loving. Hiding your true feelings keeps you stuck in the illusion of pretending. Pretending was your past. Trust your current reality of life with honesty. This is the most loving gift you can give yourself. By exposing the fear for what it is. Rejoice in this. What a gift. Feel the release of illusions. Woohoo. You know, I just had a lot of exclamation marks and just feeling, you know, it's really time to just expose it. You know, just expose it for what it is. You know, we, like Regina was sharing, you know, it actually made her sick. And I can really relate to that, big time. And then I just want to skip around. I want to share one more from today. I just absolutely loved reading the last chapter of Revelation, chapter 22. It just opened my heart like you would not believe. In fact, when I did the meditation, I read first, and then I listened to Thoughts of Awakening, and then I did some meditation, and then I went back to the chapter, and whoa, all I saw was yellow light. It was very bright when I closed my eyes. I was just feeling so much joy, so much joy. I want to point out just a few things that I read in chapter 22 that really stood out for me. The very first line, verses 9 through 14, is symbolism. Well, it's after you are free. But that's actually chapter 11. I'm sorry. Never mind. I'm skipping to chapter 22. That was chapter 21. I'm sorry. Okay. I saw that the flow, which comes from God, is everything, and all that is a part of its flow. The tree of life is symbolic of the eternity that is. And I've always, I can remember when I was even a young girl, I always drew trees. For some reason, I didn't quite understand it, but I've been very drawn to drawing and trees itself. It just seems to have a symbol for me. And then the tree of life never dies and never changes, although its leaves dance in the wind. What I thought of is our, you know, us, you know, our consciousness, our awareness, who we are. We are the leaves that are dancing in the wind. And that's what I saw. I visioned the awareness of who we are and how we are just all dancing together. And that was just a very joyful, heart-opening experience when I read that. And when your eyes are open, they shall not close again, because this is the symbol of creation. And creation is what you are. For when you see, you will not choose to forget what you have seen. These words are trustworthy and true. Only the truth is true. All else is illusion. And then the very last part that really grabbed me was, what does it mean to worship God? It means to be grateful for all that you are and to seek no change from it. And then I wrote on the side, I do not want to seek to change from all that I am. And I just underlined most of the rest of the chapter. It was just so beautiful. I want to thank you again, Regina, for just for being who you are and just expressing a lot of gratitude being here. I'm just going to share what came through with my journaling, and then I'll drop the mic. So for today, rejoice. You are the light. You are one with source of all that is. Simply choose again in your forgetfulness. Remember to pause, be still, and ask for strength to remain in the pure, simple state you come from. This is who you are. Listen to the truth. Be still and know. And then I just felt like it's so cute. This is what I wrote. Bravo, kid. You found me again. Love, Holy Spirit. And then just a few quotes from from the meditation this morning with Karen. Some quotes. You are holiness. And you are the formless, floating in and out of all things. And with that, I'm going to let go of the mic. Thank you. Love you all.
Yeah, thank you very much, Cheryl. Beautiful sharing. And thank you again for reading those lines from NTI. As you guys know, I'm ahead of you a little bit, about 5 days ahead of you now. So it's been 5 days since I read that. I'm in Inner Ramana, and it was just really wonderful to hear it again. I love the way NTI ends, you know, by reminding us of the goal, the awakenings, and the realization of our truth. Jay, the mic is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Regina. Can everybody hear me? I'm just checking the mic. I wanted to share from all of the experiences I've had with studying Revelation and all of the thought and practices of the thoughts of awakening that talk about moving from the me to the I. There's a whole bunch of those in a row, and how that relates to the teachings that were given in the tips related to going into these details of Revelations versus just looking at it as a whole. In my past studies, years and years ago, I went very, very detailed in my studies of Revelations, and all of this information came flooding back about what each and every little thing meant and all these other things came. I hadn't thought about it in a long time, but I got so into it. Into all the details, I practically became one of those experts that, you know, was referenced, you know, that you would want to contact to. So I just watched my mind as all of these details came back, you know, all through these different chapters, you know, in Revelations that I've been reading. And what I practiced this time, though, was just watching that and just let it go by, and then backing off, identifying with the I rather than the me, because that's the connection I put together, is the me, the ego personality self with the thoughts, is what wants to get involved in the details and get lost in those details. And I think there's definitely points in my path where I've done that. And this was a really great reminder to just step back and identify with the I, which is the whole, the all, to receive whatever insight I am to be given, a fresh insight now, not from an information research standpoint, but from a live contemplation, present day, present moment viewpoint. And, you know, it's just a basic point, but I think it's a really important one, that it's not about the information, you know, or how well you can even regurgitate it. It's about letting go of the me. You know, and it's funny, because as I'm letting go of more and more of the sort of intellectual side, it's like I don't want to exert my brain to try to remember things as much anymore. I just don't want to as much anymore. That, like, part of me is dying off, which is kind of cool. And I just sat in the eye, and that of itself was the teaching to me, is to remember to just keep doing that and let all that, you know, don't worry about the information, just let it go, watch it go by and just let it trickle away, and just keep asking, what am I to be shown for this? You know, when I've been waking up in the morning this last week, before I do my meditation and contemplation, I've been with that thought of I, the I that's all, the I that is the all, that just kept coming through into my mind. And I realized too how much attachment I had to all these sort of metaphysical studies and this knowledge, and, well, really information, not knowledge. So pretty big for me to sort of just revisit all that and make sure that, you know, I'm not thinking that I still want to keep that information somehow in my brain and identify with knowing it or being someone that knows these things or any of that. Because it doesn't really have any value, as I've now realized, to awaken. I mean, maybe it was a stepping stone, but in terms of letting go of the self, you know, it's like the wheat and the chaff. You know, you realize just these, you know, I don't need to keep it. You know, identifying with the all and getting out of the thought, experience, sight cycle is what it's about. So that is what I want to share.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jay. And of course, you know, NTI Revelation has a very heavy emphasis on purification, but it actually has a second emphasis, which people might overlook, maybe not. But the second emphasis is about interpretation. And the second emphasis is about, basically, everything is meaningless. Everything in Revelation is meaningless. Everything in the world is meaningless. And because it's meaningless, in order to experience it, you're going to give it an interpretation. Otherwise, you couldn't even have an experience of it. But that interpretation could be a wrong-minded interpretation or a right-minded interpretation. In both cases, it's just interpretation. It's not reality. But that's how experience comes about, is through interpretation. And so another lesson besides purification that's happening in Revelation is learning that everything is meaningless, and the only thing that we give is actually interpretation, not true meaning, just interpretation. But that we need to learn how to receive the right interpretation rather than giving the wrong interpretation. So it's very interesting how Revelation is used to teach that, since it's so full of symbols. It's really a wonderful opportunity for Spirit to teach us about how we experience things through interpretation. All right, so that's the end of your half hour. I do still have other things from the people sent in that I did not get a chance to read, but I want to say thank you very much to Lene and to Jill and to Joanne. I did read what you all sent me, and I got to tell you, I had this experience today when I was reading what you sent. It was like falling in love. I mean, you know, as I was reading, you wrote with spirit. I was just, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm falling in love. And I know that the experience came about because I love reading your genuineness, and I love reading the clarity that comes through you with honesty. You know, for example, one of Jill's contemplations. Maybe I will go ahead and talk about that one for just a moment. One of Jill's contemplations, again, and this is something that Cheryl talked about and something that Shauna talked about, but it was about, let me just read Jill's words. She says, "The time has come to stop defining yourself. Even identifying as one is coming from your thinking mind." And then here's the part. "You've adopted spiritual speak, and you understand the formation of ego and the creation of form from consciousness. But again, this is your mind. Now is the time to release all thought of identification and fall into beingness." And that moves on from there. But it's kind of that mask, right, of spirituality that we talked about a little earlier. But I love the honesty that comes through these writings. Rather than, oh, you are so perfect, you know, you do everything right, you know. When spirit is pointing out where we're fooling ourselves, that's genuine spirit. And so reading people sharing with such honesty, it just made me fall in love. So thank you. Today it was all ladies, so thank you, ladies, for sharing your writings. All right, so what I'm going to do now is begin sharing. I have about 26 minutes here. So I want to start by mentioning tip 288. That was your first tip of the week. And this started off with a review of NTI's 7 Steps to Awakening. And in fact, let me go ahead and just read those 7 steps one more time. It won't hurt for us to hear them one more time. Oh, I started to say, oh, look, I have them right here on my phone, but that's actually something different. So let me go back to 288. All right, so step 1, an intense desire for awakening. Step 2, seeing through the mask of ferociousness or through our attack, seeing through our grievance, seeing through our harshness, etc., to the false beliefs that support and sustain it. It's a big one. Step 3, tiring of judgment. That's another big one, getting tired of our own judgment. Step 4, letting go of the belief that life is temporary, which is also letting go of the belief that the body, mind, personality is your reality. Step 5, learning to trust all that is as it is. Step 6, letting go of perception, which is letting go of thought as me, because remember, perception comes through interpretation, right? So it's, you know, we're identifying with thought as me when we're, and in NTI, by the way, NTI uses the word perception and the word true perception. So when it says perception, it's referring to illusion, right? True perception would be seeing truly. So letting go of perception or letting go of illusion, which is letting go of thought as me. Step 7, giving no meaning to anything the ego says, or to any experience that you have as the ego dies its final death. Really nice set of steps there. It kind of summarizes our spiritual awakening, our path. But again, perception, the way NTI uses the word perception is when we're looking at the world through our mental chatter, and our mental chatter is interpreting the world for us. NTI refers to true perception as when we are looking at the world with clarity, not through the filter of mental chatter. When we look at the world with clarity, when it's interpreted with clarity, then we have true perception. It's still called perception because it's not knowledge or truth, but it's true perception versus illusory perception. One who experiences true perception because they're not driven by the mental chatter is moved by spontaneous inspiration. And we looked at how Jesus called this being born again. But another thing we looked at on day 288 is that mental chatter is the greatest of all addictions. Mental chatter is the greatest of all addictions. Think about that. More than your addiction to chocolate or your addiction to cigarettes or your addiction to potato chips or or whatever. Mental chatter is the greatest of all addictions. And because it's the greatest of all addictions, our desire to let go of mental chatter has to be the greatest of all desires. Again, if any of y'all have smoked, I know many people have smoked at one time in their life. I started smoking when I was around 16 years old. And I quit when I was 26, kind of think of it, I think that's right, which means I smoked 10 years, from 16 to 26. But when I quit smoking, I mean, I tried many times before I was actually successful, right? But when that desire to quit became strong enough, when I really, really wanted to quit, that's when I did it. And it's the same kind of thing here. You know, when the desire to break the habit of listening to mental chatter is strong enough, that's when we'll do it. So again, it's the greatest of all addictions, and that's why it needs the greatest of all desires. Day 289. We looked at how the ego can distort that greatest of all desires. You know, when we're on this path, there does come a point where your desire for awakening is far more important than any other thing in your life. You may have other things going on, but those other things are just other things. I don't know how else to describe it. They're just other things. The thing that is by far the most important to you and nothing else compares is your desire for awakening. And when that hits, interestingly enough, the ego catches on to that. The ego knows now that you can't be tempted by, I'll call them the five daughters of Mara, right? You can't be tempted by fear or ignorance or desire or, I can't remember what the other two were, the only thing that you're really interested in anymore is awakening. And so the only thing the ego has to tempt you with, oh, greed was one, yes. The only thing the ego has to tempt you with is awakening. This is referred to in NTI as the Lord of Lords temptation. Yeah, pride was another one, thank you. The Lord of Lords temptation. This is when, although you have not yet genuinely awakened, you begin to perceive yourself as awakened. It's often called false enlightenment. And this false enlightenment can distract you, will distract you from the genuine search for true enlightenment. It's the ego's last bag of tricks. And once it brings you into the false enlightenment, then these other things can come back in without you seeing them, like greed and pride and desire, right? These things can start coming back in again. How is this described? In NTI, it's called the Lord of Lords temptation. The Lord of Lords. It's when you believe you are the Lord of Lords. You believe you are awake, right? The me is enlightened. And in fact, we saw in Little Buddha, we saw Mara trying to tempt Siddhartha with just this temptation. It was one of the final temptations. It was after all of the fear and everything was let go and it got very, very silent. And then he reaches down into the puddle of water and he pulls up an image of himself, but that's actually Mara. And Mara says to him, "You who go where others dare not go, will you be my God?" Right? He's trying to, you're enlightened. You're done. May I worship you, right? That is that temptation. It's something we all need to be careful about. It's a very sneaky temptation, especially in a world where so many people are saying, you're awake, just say you're awake, you know. You know, so So NTI really gives us some warning about that. It's the ego's distortion of your true desire. And it says you can know your true desire. If you really want to be genuine about it, you can know your true desire because your true desire wants only one thing, and that's truth. Truth is different than wanting me to be enlightened. It's different. It's not the same. It's different from wanting everyone to look at me as if I'm enlightened or have wisdom or have clarity. It's different than wanting to sell my books or wanting people to listen to my teachings or wanting to be in this particular spiritual group, you know, hang out with these particular spiritual people. It's the desire for truth. And so if you really pay attention, you can see when the ego begins to distort that, because it does have a different, as Laurent used to say, a different smell. It has a different smell, right? It's not quite the same. And when you catch yourself wanting, you know, to be, again, me be enlightened, right? I want to be enlightened, you know, or I want people to think I'm clear, you know, or whatever, you know, just drop it when you see it, because that's distraction. Right, just drop it, go back to wanting truth, don't worry about anything else. On day 290, we had a little bit of a review about the fact that there are two awakenings, not just one. We've seen this ever since the end of Gentle Healing Year One. First, there's an awakening to consciousness, the second principle of God, which is also called true perception in NTI. A Course in Miracles calls it the real world, right? And then from that point, you know, another awakening begins to arise within. There's another maturation period. And then the final awakening comes, which is the awakening to reality. The awakening to reality being beyond perception entirely. That's the one that just cannot be imagined. It's the one, you know, where you're told there's no sense of self. There's no world, right? So we had a review of the fact that there are two awakenings on day 290. And then on day 291, we looked at this topic that I mentioned a little bit ago after Jay shared about interpretation versus knowledge. And since I already talked about that, probably the only thing left to say about that is to remember that in that final awakening, there is no more interpretation. You know, this final awakening, I get excited. I get so excited about this final awakening, and I don't even know why, because it's not anything that I can imagine. It's not like getting excited about going to Italy or getting excited about seeing my dad or my mom when I haven't seen them in a long time. In fact, I don't even really get excited about those things anymore. I'm happy to go to Italy. I'm happy to see my parents, but I don't get excited anymore. The only thing that really excites me is when I start contemplating this final awakening. The Tao Te Ching calls it the mystery of mysteries. I love listening to teachers or reading teachers like Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Bernadette Roberts, teachers who are doing their best to describe this awakening when there's no way I can understand what they're saying. But there's so much excitement. And the only way that I can describe this excitement is to say, because there's something in me that absolutely knows that's the absolute truth. It absolutely knows that's the absolute truth. And it's exciting to even be aware that there's something beyond this. And not to be deluded into thinking that this is all there is. It's just incredibly exciting. And, you know, when they attempt to talk about this second awakening, and again, maybe this doesn't excite everybody like it does me, you know, they say things like there is no world, there is no sense of self. You know, and Ramana Maharshi talks about how the body is moved about almost as if you're sleepwalking. You know, and somehow I know what he's talking about. It's so funny. It's like I'm on the edge of it. I know what he's talking about. You know, he's talking about the fact that there is no, not even a shred of identification with the body or mind. Not the tiniest little bit. And so in that way, there's no driver of the body or the mind. And the body and the mind is just moving and talking and being, because all of consciousness in its totality actually moves that body and mind. I don't know why that's exciting to me. All I can say is that it is. So I get really excited when we get to the end of books like A Course in Miracles, where it's talking about this second awakening, or NTI, where it's talking about this second awakening. It's like there's to me, there's nothing more exciting than that. And that, I suppose, is why I am still here, right? Why would I give up the most exciting for something less, you know? I can't even imagine doing that. Yeah, Cheryl's talking about the song, Is That All There Is? Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. She was talking about how, you know, when she reached a certain age in her life, she kind of looked around and said, is that it? Is this it? And that's kind of what propelled her onto the spiritual path, right? So on day 291, it talked about the fact that interpretation is only needed in the first two states of mind, one of which is ignorance or illusion, right? And interpretation then, of course, is primarily wrong-minded interpretation. Right-minded interpretation can sneak in, and if you cultivate it, it can grow stronger and stronger, but the wrong mind is still in the lead. We're still identified with the mental chatter. That's the first state of mind. But everything is an interpretation. And then after that first awakening to consciousness, there's still interpretation, but now it's right-minded interpretation. But everything is still being interpreted. Experience is still happening, right? But then that third, it's not even a state of mind anymore, because it's beyond mind. That awakening into reality is beyond, call experience. Bentinho Massaro calls it beyond experience. It's beyond interpretation. It's beyond symbols, beyond the world, beyond the sense of self. Maybe the only word that really matters is that first word I was using in each of those examples, which was beyond. It's beyond everything we can imagine, right? And that, there's no interpretation there. There's just knowledge of what is. Knowledge of reality. It's just exciting to me. So we have wrong-minded interpretation, right-minded interpretation, and then beyond. Right? And this discussion continued. It was actually a two-day discussion. It happened in the tip on 291, and it happened in the tip on 292 as well. And in 292, I quoted from the Tao Te Ching, the two emerge together, meaning illusion, perception, and reality. Perception and reality, the two emerge together but differ in name. The unity is said to be the mystery. You know, everything is reality, even as we perceive it as a chair and an ant and a tree. Right? But that's interpretation. When I say this is a chair, it's interpretation. I learned somewhere along the way that this is a chair. I even learned that the type of chair it is. It's a recliner. I learned the color. It's brown. I learned that you can't pour stuff on it. It will stain. I learned that stains are bad. Right? If it gets too stained, you got to get a new one. Right? It's all interpretation. I remember a wonderful teaching that Bentinho did once. In fact, I think he did it for us. I think it was right here in the sanctuary. I know it was. Where he talked about how if we were born on a different planet with different interpretations. For example, what if we were born on a planet where death was interpreted to be your greatest accomplishment? And in fact, the more, I don't know if I want to use the word violent. I don't think he used the word violent. But the more dramatic your death was, the better. You know, like people that just kind of went to sleep, died in their sleep, it was kind of like, oh, that was a wasted death. Didn't even get to enjoy that one. But people who were killed in a head-on car crash, wow, did you see how he went out? That was a great death. Bravo! Wow, he did that right. You know, if we were all raised to think that way, we would think that way. Because even the way we perceive death and violence and everything else is interpretation. It's amazing. Everything here is interpretation. And certainly cultures can, you know, different cultures right here on this planet can interpret things very, very differently. Right? So everything is made out of reality. Everything is reality. But we don't see the reality or know the reality because we believe the interpretation. Right? We believe the interpretation. That's what blocks our, that's what blocks our seeing. So first, we learn to let go of wrong-minded interpretation and listen to right-minded interpretation. And then from right-minded interpretation, you're seeing more clearly, you're seeing consciousness, right? Everything is pointing to truth. And from right-minded interpretation, we are able to awaken beyond interpretation entirely. I mean, this is the exact same teaching that we got from A Course in Miracles. Right? The words are different, but the teaching is exactly the same. And then on day 293, which was yesterday, we're now in the last 2 days of NTI, and what we're looking at is the last things NTI wants to say to us. And yesterday, what NTI said to us basically was that illusion began with a wish for something different. Back in NTI Romans 2, we learned about that. You know, what if everything was different than it is? Instead of seeing reality, what if I could see a brown reclining chair with a stain on it? Right? And be upset about that, mad at another person that I think poured the wine on the brown reclining chair. You know, what if I could have that experience? See, interpretation leads to experience. What if everything were different than it is? And we were told in NTI Romans it didn't change anything. But basically the mind was born out of that. Judgment was born out of that. Interpretation was born out of that. Belief was born out of that. And we began to have this mental experience, which is why it's often called a dream, in which we are still reality and we still abide in reality. But we see ourselves different and we see everything different. We see ourselves different than we are, and we see everything different than it is because it started with a wish that it was different. Right? That's where all of this came from. And then NTI says, so the way that you undo that is by loving everything. Loving everything just as it is. You see, when you're loving everything just as it is, you are no longer wishing it was different. So that's the undoing. That's the undoing, the love. And that's, you know, the loving all method is not new to us, right? We started looking at the loving all method early in Gentle Healing Year One. And it's interesting because, you know, we looked at Michael Langford's Loving All Method, the way he writes it, because he does just such clear writing. But, you know, when NTI was written, I'd never heard of Michael Langford. I'd never read any of his books. You know, this isn't something that I learned from Michael Langford and then subconsciously put in NTI. It's truth. It's truth. Loving everything is the way to undo the wish that causes the perception of illusion. Just love everything. You know, and as you know, I mean, we've been saying this since Gentle Healing Year One, the more you practice, the better you get. You know, you can learn to love the experience of stubbing your toe, but you have to practice loving everything. You know, again, it was one of those seven steps to awakening from NTI, tiring of judgment. That's an important part of learning to love everything. but also just wanting awakening bad enough, right? And then today, tip 294, our very, very last reading in NTI, and we end with some very simple, very practical advice that whenever we catch ourselves in the wrong mind, just pause, let go of that wrong-minded interpretation, because that's all it is an interpretation, and embrace a right-minded interpretation instead. In fact, here's the way I wrote the steps. Whenever you catch yourself in the wrong mind, step one, stop immediately, even if it's in mid-sentence. Just stop. You don't have to finish that. Stop immediately. Do not continue acting with the wrong mind in the lead. Step two, then pause. Take a breath. Remind yourself of your spiritual aspiration. Remind yourself of what you really want. Nothing brings in the right mind better than remembering how much you want truth. Step three, let go of the interpretation that came from mental chatter. Just forget about it, right? It's not true, just forget about it. Whatever it was you were thinking a minute ago, drop it, like you have Alzheimer's. All right, drop it like you have Alzheimer's. Then tune into intuition's present moment guidance. Find out what that is, and then follow intuition's guidance right away and straight away, right, without any delay. Effective immediately. And that's where we close the book. But you know what? We close the book and we open another book that begins right where this book ended. And it's interesting because I think that if you have read the teachings of Inner Ramana before, but you hadn't been through NTI in the way we've just been through NTI, I think you may see the teachings of Inner Ramana in a deeper way with all of this NTI clarity as its foundation. So tomorrow you will begin the teachings of Inner Ramana. Let's go ahead and look at our homework assignments. We are still practicing daily meditation for 30 to 60 minutes each day, and of course the Loving All method. We just looked at how important that Loving All method is. You will do Thoughts of Awakening 295 to 301. And then you're going to read several messages from the teachings of Inner Ramana. And again, just follow the tip. The tip will tell you which message to read every day. You'll start tomorrow with the commentary on mind. All right, you'll read a different message every day, but the tip will always tell you which one to read, so you don't have to memorize that list there. Again, if you don't have the teachings of Inner Ramana, if you order it tonight, I can send it to you tomorrow. And I can also, if you do it before I go to bed tonight, then before I go to bed, I will send you the first few messages so that you can go ahead and start general healing tomorrow, even though you don't have the book yet. All right? If you happen to do it after I go to bed, I'll try and get that to you as soon as I see it in the morning. And I get up pretty early. So that's it. One book closes. Another book opens. And we just continue straight on. So I will see you all. And I do want to say that we do have a member meeting coming up on Sunday night. And I do have some exciting announcements. So please try to be there Sunday night in Zoom, 8 p.m. Eastern time. That's 5 p.m. Pacific. And again, you'll be able to find the Zoom link on our website when you go to our homepage. You know, there's just that big icon at the bottom that says Sanctuary Schedule. Starting Thursday, when you click on that, there will be a link there that will take you into our new Zoom Sanctuary. But I won't be putting it there Thursday until after we're done with Pal Talk. So sometime Thursday morning that will show up, and you can use that to get into the Sanctuary whenever we're open. Right? It will just say, enter the Sanctuary. Click on it. Boom, that's all there is to it. First time you may need to download the Zoom app, but after that, boom, that's all there is to it. All right, guys, take care. Bye.